Hello, and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Friday, December 4th, 2020.
Crypto, Bitcoin is down 1.2% to 18,988. Ethereum is down 2.9% to 587, just hovering at that 19,000 and then that 600 price point. Bitcoin refuses to get to 20K.
It will one day.
It's personal at this point. That's how I feel.
Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, as well as gain loss reporting, crypto invoicing, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So up first, the Ripple CTO tweeted to the community that they could force a burn of billions of the protocol's tokens.
Yeah, well, he was basically saying that there's enough control in the community at this point, so that they could make some votes and you know sort of structure things otherwise that they could burn those tokens. It's not fair to say they look down on Ripple. Like Ripple is the. I don't have a really good example. I mean, I have a really good analogy here, but like Ripple is not one of the more popular people at the party within the crypto world. It is a highly centralized currency, not because it is, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, one is it is centralized in terms of the actual underlying protocol. So he's, you know, the CEO is coming out, the CTO is coming out here and saying that the protocol is decentralized, that you can make votes and stuff like that. Like it's not, I can't go and start a Ripple node. There's a lot of issues with it like that. That's intentional from their side. The natural balance on cryptocurrencies on one hand is decentralization. And on the other hand is speed of execution. So when you have something like probably the single most decentralized cryptocurrency with, you know, you can kind of argue it, but let's not worry about it too much, is Bitcoin. Bitcoin makes a lot of trade-offs to keep its censorship resistance and its decentralization. What that means is that Bitcoin has a transaction rate of like 4 transactions a second or something like that. I mean, just like absurdly low compared to a Visa at 40,000 transactions per minute, I think. So, you know, Ripple has made intentions. They want to be a settlement layer for banks. They want to be a cryptocurrency that's used every day for millions of transactions. They made choices to be more centralized and be faster. Part of that was they self-funded by printing a bunch of XRP early on. They put it on a release cycle. So essentially over the course of, you know, every year, a certain number of XRP get released back to the company for them to use. And what tended to happen is that they would then dump all those. And that's why that's sort of my theory, or maybe the community's theory, as to why the price of Ripple was so low, is that you would see these, you know, basically the Ripple company would dump it on a pretty continuous basis, on a monthly basis, keeping the price low. So, you know, no one really liked that. You know, most of the investors in the cryptocurrency space right now, Ripple is not, you know, just like many of the, like Ethereum is really the first cryptocurrency to launch itself and have a really compelling use case that is outside of a store of value or a currency. Ripple hasn't found that yet. So the people who are investing in it are mostly investors seeking profit. So investors seeking profit get really upset when the company that makes something just dumps, like basically floods the market, drives down the price. So XRP, since its very beginning, has had a very tenuous, very spiky relationship with its investors. And I think that just continues here. So this is the Ripple CTO is coming out and saying, you know, he's trying to quell investors again and trying to make them feel better again about the investment they've been in for a very long time at this point that hasn't really shown major gains, is in fact down from where it started. You know, I would take this as a PR move less than a actual statement of technical fact, although perhaps it is true that there would be ways for the community to actually freeze it if they really wanted to. And I think part of that would even require a fork. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
All right. So next, Facebook's Libra is now Diem. The Libra Association rebrands itself to Diem and will launch in limited form in early 2021.
Yeah, there's two really interesting parts about this story. So first is the rename. This is interesting because Facebook paid a lot of money for the Libra name.
Yeah.
So I think that this to me is notable because – Facebook comes out, they're like, hey, we're doing Libra. Everyone's like, oh my God, Facebook's making a currency. Like, this is literally the end of the world. Like, this is a cyberpunk dystopian future where companies control both your data and the currency you use. Everyone scream and run for the hills. And they're like, no. Okay. Yeah, that's terrible. It's called Diem now. You're not even going to realize it's Libra. So I think this is a rebranding effort because Libra at this point has so much negative press around it because they really did pay a lot of money for that domain name. So that's part one of it. Now, the direct response to this, which is the other part of this news story, is that in Congress, Rashida Tlaib and a few other people proposed a bill that would actually require people who are creating stable coins. It's not clear exactly what it is, but I'm going to say that this is stable coins paid to the US dollar in particular, not stable coins that are paid to inflation or to other currencies out there, but stable coins paid to the US dollar. That would require companies making stable coins paid to the US dollar get bank charters. I think this is really interesting. I obviously think it's insane. I think it's terrible. I think it's a horrific thing to do. I think that there's, you know, one of the things that, you know, we do is I know a lot about the accounting side of cryptocurrencies. And so when you look at stable coins are very difficult to do accounting for because you actually can't treat stable coins as a one-to-one with the underlying currency. So like USDC floats between 998 and 1.03 to the US dollar. Tether floats from 0.93 to 107 versus the US dollar. So there's huge fluctuations. So you actually have to track capital gains and losses against stable coins when you're using them in a way that you don't have to do with a fiat currency. So there's a really interesting part of this, which is that if there was a drive, you know, I would imagine part of this bill would be that once you set up your stablecoin, once you get your bank charter, once you do all this stuff, then you actually could just treat the stablecoin as USD. And that would simplify so much of what's going on in the world right now. Now, that's so fascinating because what that essentially would do is give charters to companies making competitive products with the US dollar, which is patently illegal in the United States. You cannot print a competing currency in the United States. So I think this is a very ill-conceived bill in general. I also think it has some really weird knock-on effects if it actually were to pass, which it has absolutely no chance of passing. But if it actually were to pass, it has these weird knock-on effects that like they might be actually chartering people to allow them to make competing currencies with the US dollar, or at least these paid currencies to the US dollar, which would basically say that, you know, we're going to outsource. It would be America saying that we're going to outsource the creation of the USD CBDC to private companies as opposed to the Treasury doing it, which I think is also super fascinating. So this whole thing, like it's been this unintended consequence of Facebook creating Libra has been to terrify everybody about cryptocurrencies in some ways. It's now causing them to look at actually creating bank charter rules for stable coins because they really don't want Facebook to do this. And obviously it's sort of, you know, made everyone consider what money is in a broader level. So I think this is super fascinating. I think it's really interesting, but I don't know. I don't know where this goes from here. I'm going to watch it.
So earlier this week, we mentioned Grayscale, and they yesterday had a press release announcing a 9-for-1 share split.
Yeah, it's funny because we talked about how the price was way overvalued versus their holdings, and then the price comes down. But then this, in fact, dilutes the holdings. So this changes literally nothing. I wanted to mention it because this is one of those things that companies do for PR. If, you know, just be aware, this changes absolutely nothing about their dynamics. They're still 1,000% overvalued versus the underlying assets that they're representing. So don't get tricked and think that this now means that their shares, that they're better representing their value versus what they're holding. They are not. They've just done a share split to make it more attractive for people investing in it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the DeFi Daily. That's it for today. And I hope everyone has a great weekend.
Yep. Take it easy, everybody.